Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
All right, here we go. Reno's in. It's brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyers, Cofield and Company. Alex White is here in for Willie Ramirez. You know that guy.
I do. I'm kind of intimidated to follow him after his WNBA talk.
I think you're good on the WNBA talk. You're more than up to snuff. We're watching some baseball games start up as we speak. By the way, before we get to the Big Four at four, got to update you on this story from yesterday. Alex, I don't know if you saw the Mets streak with Grimace.
Of course.
Everyone knows about that. Adam Hill and I went on and on and on yesterday because we have a deep love as older people for Grimace. Grimace goes back to, I think, the late 60s, early 70s when McDonaldland was really big. And Grim was a mysterious figure, but he brought the magic to the Mets. They finally lost a game, and then they bounce back today. They come off a little break. I called it. I say the magic of Grimace gets them like 12 or 13, and they turn around their season. They've already started to begin doing that, and today they won 11-1 at the Cubs. And J.D. Martinez, who, remember, got a late start, and we're going to talk about Jordan Montgomery later on. You know, a lot of the guys who were with Boris waited until the last minute, really didn't get the deals they wanted. Their seasons have actually been kind of lousy. Martinez was fine. He just wasn't hitting for power, but today he went off and had a home run and four ribs.
Yeah, you expect to see it. I mean, he's such a good player. And the Cubs have been struggling offensively, so I think this was a good series for them to have up next to keep their wins going.
You buy the Cubs from here? I think they got out to a great start. Imanaga got destroyed today. I think that was part of their good start. I don't think they have enough pitching.
I think they're
probably more of about a 75-win team and not what they showed at the beginning of the season.
Well, this race here is crazy. I mean, they are all just right there, a game within each other.
Yeah, that's not – I wouldn't call that one a powerhouse division. Although, you know what that said? I don't think the Reds have gotten to where they're going to because the Reds have had some health issues. This is going to sound really goofy, but the kid Marte, who's been down for whatever it is now, 73 games because of a PED suspension, he's back on June 27th. So that's another body who might be a spark plug, a guy who can, you know, produce to the power of whatever, 20 homers and 80 ribs. He's not going to do that rest of the season, but I don't think they've hit their stride yet. So you like the Cardinals?
I do like the Cardinals.
Do you?
I kind of like the Pirates right now, and it might be influenced by a lot of my Pittsburgh colleagues over at the South Point Studio.
Too much Skeens talk.
A lot of Skeens, but
a lot of Skeens talk.
Jared Jones, too. I mean, they've got a really good rotation going.
So we're hanging out right outside the – well, we're inside. We're right adjacent to the sportsbook here, the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. 55-plus TDs. Come on out. We got a lot of great action coming up. Fever are playing tonight, so Caitlin Clark, we'll see if she can keep it going, keep the Fever hot. But before the game's tip and first pitch and all that, let's get to the Big Four.
Battleborne Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
All right, so we all do this for a living, right? We're on air. Maybe not pulling down the deal of Tom Brady at $375 million over the next 10 years. I wish, right? That'd be nice. But he's getting that. He hasn't even really done it yet.
Right.
And every time he makes an appearance, I think people are starting to look at him and grade him and see how he's going to do. I think he's going to be awesome. We have other people on the show who think he's going to stink. I personally think that he was reserved for all those years because that was kind of Belichickian. From what you've seen, and I don't know if you watched the roast, but Brady in interviews, the roast, might he struggle? Might he be afraid to criticize players? Might he be a bore?
After watching that roast, I don't think he'll be afraid at all. And that roast was fantastic. I think he'll be great.
I think he's going to be awesome. And it's just a matter of how far he wants to push it in terms of criticism. You know, you want to be a Barkley. But Barkley criticizes, but Barkley doesn't really know anything beyond the top, like 5% of the NBA. I think Brady will be a lunatic with preparation. This was Brady the other day as he starts to make the rounds on Fox. He was on Colin Cowherd, and they were talking about what a quarterback has to do to make sure the number one receiver's mind is right.
I want to get him into the flow. So we would always try to script so that everybody would feel like they were in the flow of the game. The last thing you want is your number one receiver to go 2.5 quarters into a game and not see a ball, to get one target, because he's going to get discouraged. He's got to go out there. He's got to break the huddle. He's got to run out 25 yards to his alignment. He's got to run down the field as fast as he can, try to get open. He's got to run back to the huddle. It's a lot of effort that he's putting into not getting the ball.
I guess I never really thought about the psych side of the quarterback managing the number one receiver. Does that seem right?
It seems right to me. I mean, if it's Tom Brady saying it, I'm going to take his word for it.
Right. I mean, you assume most receivers, it is a tough gig, but there are lots of people out there who are important to a team who never get the ball, right? Be like, let's keep the left tackle's mind in the game.
Yeah, but they sign up for that position. They know that going in, right?
Yeah, throw me the damn ball, Keyshawn Johnson, right? Number three.
Number three.
Alex White starting up for a couple hours here on Cofield and Company as we're down at Treasure Island. I saw this tweet. The Celtics ring has zero aura. No one is talking about it. 48 hours later, Kendrick Lamar's concert and Lakers coaching search overshadowed it. Do you agree with that?
I hate it, but I agree completely. And it didn't register until I actually read that. But that has really happened.
Well, you know, I didn't look up this tweeter to see where he's located. And it's, of course, it's a fake name or whatever, an alias. One, that person could be in L.A. or on the West Coast. So that, I think that's going to affect you, like, really being into Kendrick Lamar's concert and the Lakers coaching search. But here's the thing now, and we're all, doesn't matter what age you are, I mean, I guess maybe there are older folks who aren't married to their phones, but I still think even you guys are caught up in this short attention span America where every day there's a news cycle, and every day, and we're in a bubble in sports, we're always looking for the new stuff. The sports world's never going to be the same, because we're always looking for that next story. We're always looking for the next sizzle, the next hot take, and a team winning a championship in a series where they win 4-1. Like, hey, that was good. There's a couple stories we can talk about with Tatum and Brown and what the future of the Celtics might be, and the Celtics might win multiple championships, or maybe they're not going to, and then you just move on. It's almost kind of sad in a way.
I completely agree. And it is definitely that next hot topic. And with the Celtics, I mean, also with greatness, it's kind of expected. They've been there for a few years now, and it's just like, okay, good. You did it. Moving on.
What was the best storyline you thought out of the Celtics win?
Jaylen Brown?
Okay.
I guess. The postseason that he had and really stepping up and taking that leadership role.
Not being the star and... I mean, I think they're basically 50-50. I think we had talked about this in prior weeks. So he gets a little extra shine. I thought the Celtics passing... Actually, I think the best... For me, the best storyline is still a West Coast-based storyline, and that is the Celtics passing the Lakers with 18 titles to 17, and the Lakers didn't get to 18 first because they screwed it up the last 4 years.
Yep.
So it's just it's an absolute study in how to manage a basketball team and how to build a roster, make the right picks, make the right trades, spend the right money. And also, by the way, make sure that your GM is the right person, Rob Pelinka, I don't know, and that you have the right coach and you're not changing every 2 years. So,
yeah.
But if that doesn't have, I guess in the old days, that would have had like weeks and weeks and weeks, but there's always something going on, and it's coming at us 1,000 miles an hour. Number two.
Number two.
Stanley Cup game number 6 is tonight. We'll get into it on multiple fronts here during the rest of Cofield and Company, but there could be a reward. I feel like we all, well, I don't live in Canada, but they all deserve some sort of tasty snack. But what is McDonald's doing in appreciation if the Edmonton Oilers finally bring the cup back to Canada?
They're going to name one of the McDonald's McDavids. I love it.
Permanently or for a day? Should be permanent. Right? So in Edmonton, there should be a McDavid's.
I mean, they would get a lot of people going there. G just to say that they went there. And look at McDonald's getting all this free publicity from you here on Cofield and Company.
I know. We generally try not to do that. We gave him a lot of pops the other day with our... Were you listening? We were talking about fantasy football. And there was a fantasy football league which just so happened to have a couple of, I think it was like ESPN or CBS Sports staffers on it, where their last place penalty was to go and sit at a McDonald's for 24 hours. They have a whole list of foods and the time that comes off the 24-hour total. They have to eat that because there was a Waffle House one last year, and someone actually completed the mission. And the top, I think the top amount of minutes that would come off with an item eaten was 45 minutes. So this person had to eat and eat and eat. Otherwise, you're sitting there for like 12, 13 hours.
Eat their way out, right? I thought it was 24 unless they did.
No, it was 24 hours total.
Right.
And then you could the most you could knock off with one item, and I think it was actually multiple items. It was a big breakfast. You could knock off like 45 minutes. So we had a whole conversation, and it was like you have to do 30 packs of apple slices and 17 hash browns and 14 McChickens. So I guess in Canada they can do it if they get the cup at wherever the McDavid's is going to be. How about some deals? Okay, we're rooting for I'm rooting for deals. Give us some deals down here too. Why not? Number one. Griffin, give me a little Paul Maurice here. I can never say his name. Paul Maurice here, where he talks about this position. He's actually more comfy in 3-2 up than up 3-0.
Yeah, you're going to think I'm lying to you. I'm more comfortable. I understand the feeling of 3-2 because most series are like that. That's more, 3-0 is more of an aberration in it.
What? I don't even know how to answer that, isn't it? 3-0 is an aberration? Do you get this?
I think it's just reverse psychology, right? We can tell he is a great coach and he likes to flip things around and try and motivate his players in different ways. So in a way, he's trying to say, hey, we're used to this. This is easy now. Let's go finish the job. 3-0, sweeping, that's a lot harder to do. But it's very interesting. Very interesting.
How's that quote going to look 5 days from now if they've blown the series?
Not great. After being up 3-0?
Should I bet series comeback?
I do think if Edmonton wins tonight, I think they win it.
Really?
But I don't. Not saying I'm all in on them winning tonight.
What are you going to do tonight? Have you bet it?
I bet half a unit on the over. Over 5.5. I know it's a little risky because the first two games, dead unders. Next three were overs. Don't want to overreact. But the two that were in Edmonton, it is faster ice. And that's how the Oilers got going, right? They got their offense going. They have to score quickly. So...
half a unit for me is $10. Why are you cracking up? I mean, you're using the vernacular, okay? Will you ever admit what half a unit is for you? Or what are we looking at here? You betting a dime, full unit? What are we doing?
Ooh, no, I'm not there yet.
Okay. But you might be above my half a unit as $10?
A little bit.
I mean, that's not a full unit. It's half.
And you should make your half unit $11.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, yes. I know what I'm doing on that front. All right, rolling on here. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. Alex White is with us. Up next, we'll get to some NFL and that quarterback salary cap stuff.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Well, I'm glad Alex White's here because I think Alex is very comfortable with doing these shows. Because you're down at the South Point Sportsbook. But doing these shows while games are on. Because I used to do this a lot in the past. And we are at sportsbooks all the time, but you can be kind of tracking what is going on. Because there's so much happening today, and it sounds crazy. We were talking about this in the first hour. How June in Vegas, like there was some stuff going on sports-wise, but now, like this weekend's pretty nuts. And the next weekend is going to be something I don't, like unlike what we've seen, we've had Super Bowls here. It's crazy.
It is. There is a lot going on. And that's the other ironic thing, right? I never mind talking about football, but we're so used to it being kind of slow and starting the football talk early. Yeah. But now it's like, wait, we still have baseball, WNBA.
Well, the WNBA has been a godsend, and God says to soccer.
Yeah.
Are you going to bet the soccer? Because I don't know enough about it that I'm going to bet it, but I'm going to watch as much as I can, and we've got games here locally.
Right. No, I don't handicap soccer, so I don't know enough about it to bet it either.
Let's see. Atlanta's up 3-0 on the Yankees as Ozzie Albies and Riley head home runs. Is in this one, my God, Chris Sale has just been unreal. What a signing. What a signing. He's 9-2, 298. Nearly 100 Ks, but anyway, they're up 3-0 as Rodon got whacked around in the first inning. And as we told you earlier, Mets keep the good feelings about Grimace going. They've won, I think it's now 7 of 8. Check that. Yeah, 7 of 8 or 8 of 9. 8 of 9. They won 11-1 today against the Cubs.
Are you a Mets fan?
No, Yankees fan.
Okay.
I hate the Mets, but, you know, I have fantasy interest. And if, you know, if I'm betting, I don't bet a lot of baseball. What if I get into it? I guess I'd. On the Mets' hatred, I just don't want them to be better for years on end than the Yankees. I don't think there's much of a threat on that right now.
Are you surprised with the big jump that the Yankees have made this year?
Yes, and I don't fully believe it. One, they've been healthy. And without Cole, that's amazing. But we'll see. Hopefully Cole can stay healthy. They stepped into some fortunate situations. We were talking about this yesterday when we saw Louis Hill get destroyed. Like, maybe he's going to be a 4.5 ERA, 5 ERA pitcher in the second half. I don't know. And he saved them, right? He's basically Gerrit Cole in the first half. So if he stinks, then that's kind of a wash. And between Judge, Stanton, and Soto's pretty durable. But if one of those guys goes down, then what happens?
Right. Soto was such a good addition there.
Oh, my God. Well, it's a perfect situation because he can probably get – well, I can't say with a guarantee because this Steinbrenner is not his dad. He can probably get the money from the Yankees, but he needed to go out and have a monster year,
right.
And he's on his way to having a monster season. That said, I'm not sure there's that many teams in baseball that are super interested anymore in signing dudes to, like, $500 million deals. Now, can they? Yes. Are they willing to? No. I'm not going to hammer people who are like, we're not comfortable signing someone in 9 years.
Right.
I don't know if I am. I'm not. I wouldn't sign a pitcher for more than 3.
Well, can they all do what the Dodgers did with Ohtani?
That's going to be interesting in the offseason. Is there going to be any sort of loophole? I'm, you know, closed up here.
Right.
I don't see how they could do it because there's been deferred money deals for years. I mean, Bobby Bonilla is like one of the worst deferred money deals. You know, the Mets, he flamed out pretty quickly, and then he's still going to get paid through, like, 2030. That should be the wave of the future, but I don't know if the PA is going to fight back, or I'm sure there's some whiny baseball organizations that they're going to fight back because they don't want to be on the hook for 30 years of money or 20 years or 15 years of money. So speaking of money, a couple things from the NFL during the week. We got Alex White helping out today as the company on Cofield & Company. There was a note the other day that there are some owners who are floating the idea of having a quarterback salary cap in the National Football League. Immediate thought when you hear that.
I didn't see that, but
yeah.
I mean, at some point there has to be, right?
No.
No?
No, not at all. I don't think so. Okay, one, I don't believe it's a possibility. Because I don't think you're going to be able to single out a player, a position, and say they can only make so much money. No, they have an overall salary cap, and it's your job. If you want to be the Steelers and spend $6 million on your quarterback position, I don't know who their third stringer is, but whatever it is, with Fields and Wilson, then you do that. If you want to be
Jaguars.
Yep. Right, and have... when his deal kicks in and have whatever it is, $63 million on a quarterback, you do that. I mean, that would be – how could you do that? It'd be like telling clubs, like, oh, your defensive line room is – too. I mean, I know it's the most important position, And there's no way the NFLPA would go for it.
Right.
It's part of the strategy. And the Jaguars didn't. The Jaguars could run the risk. They could have offered Trevor Lawrence, sorry, man, to team build. You want $55 million a year? We'll give you what we think is right is $41 million. You don't want to do it? Then go on the open market. And maybe he would get $50 million a year from another team? I don't know. Well, you have to realize, who's the person who's going to throw that out there about a cap for the quarterbacks? Who's the one owner right now who's in the soup who's going to make that suggestion? Jerry Jones. Because he has set himself up here for what I think he believes and his son Steve believe is going to be a screw job on Dak Prescott. So, and that's the next horizon, because, I mean, you just hit the right guy. Joe Burrow, if he's at 55, and I don't even know what all the other guys are at, right behind that. And now Trevor Lawrence, next in line, goes into a tie at $55 million. I mean, Dak Prescott's people are like, $55 million for Trevor Lawrence? 60 and beyond, Jerry, right?
Right. Well, and Dak Prescott's coming off his best year. But how many good years does he still have is really the question.
I mentioned Trevor Lawrence. If a franchise that is desperate for a quarterback, Trevor Lawrence comes up, maybe they would top, say, something in the 40s. And I hate all this money stuff, but if Dak Prescott had a similar year to this year and just plays this out, which I actually think he should do. Quarterbacks, it's easy for me to say, but quarterbacks make so much money now. Dak Prescott's made so much money, and with his endorsements, he's so rich. He could just take a stance or a stand and go, you know what? You didn't sign me to this point. I don't think you're that interested. I'm going to play this out and go to the market.
Yeah.
And then, come on, Alex, if he has a similar year to what he just had, I mean, we can go through the standings in a couple of minutes. And hell, my Jets could be in a position where Aaron Rodgers is an absolute disaster. And the Jets look up and, what is Dak? What is he, 32? Whatever he is. And they're like, all right, should we do $300 million for Dak Prescott and just stop this nonsense with not having a franchise quarterback? They might do it.
I wouldn't hate it at all.
Right?
How much did Kirk Cousins just get from the Falcons?
I know he got 100 guaranteed, and I think each year was around 40 or 45. So, and
so I mean, you make a good point. If Dak has another great year like right. that, there's definitely a team that's right there that just needs that quarterback position.
I mean, the Falcons did that with Cousins off an Achilles.
Yes.
He's not even healthy. We think he is now, but there's a risk there. Well, I'm all about player empowerment, and I think that I get Jerry Jones' point. I think a lot of the owners are probably like, wait a second here. We got some trouble. Like, these guys are getting more powerful than the teams. Like, we don't want to have what's happening over with LeBron and his he just named the head coach in J.J. Redick. We can't have that. But the quarterback is so valuable, he's so important, that I don't think the owners can contain this thing. And it's their absolute nightmare that they can't have every player wrapped around their fingers.
Well, not even just looking at a different sport in the NBA, look at the level below them. I mean, now college, the players have so much power.
If you don't have a good quarterback in college football, what's going to happen to your program? I mean, it could be the difference. I think it could be 3-4 win difference.
Definitely.
Sometimes going back, you know, going down to a number two. Which, by the way, for folks out there, Alex is betting every day. She's down at the South Point. I'm not saying you're a degenerate. This is what you do. And I don't do it to that level. I cannot wait to see how insane college football is going to be this year. Just starting out with the over-under win totals and how anyone is betting. I mean, you know when you bet an over-under win total in college football, there's so much more risk than there used to be simply because of the unpredictability or lack of predictability with the quarterbacks.
No, you're right. And I just started doing NFL, going through all those rosters, kind of breaking that down. Next is college football. A little anxious about it. It's going to be a lot of work. That portal, figuring out where everybody has moved to, readjusting all of these teams' power ratings, it's going to be a lot of work.
On that $60 million man thing, Brock Purdy, technically, and on the timeline, is up, is one of the next guys up for a contract. And isn't this the perfect – this is a, to me, this is another perfect test case where the Niners, they know what he is. Solid, not spectacular. I don't know if he has the upside to be a top five guy. Maybe they believe that. They're out of their minds if they pay Brock Purdy $55 million, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And we'll also they'll have to gauge what the rest of the league thinks of Brock Purdy if there's a threat of him leaving for just way more dollars than they're willing to spend.
It's tough, right? And it's not just Brock Purdy. I mean, that whole roster they want to keep intact because, I mean, their win-loss record the last 2 years is insane.
They've had the dream scenario. Cheap quarterback with lots of talent, especially high-dollar guys on defense. We're coming back halfway point of Cofield and Company. It's Golden Circle Sports Book and Bar on a Friday.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
I don't know who the hell is playing over here. What's that, the Tigers?
Tigers and White Sox. I've got a bet on that one, actually.
I talked about this a couple weeks ago. City, what uniforms?
City Connect.
These are terrible. You can't tell what team it is.
Some of them are tough. But Frank Nicotero and Ryan McCormick, his producer, they've done this whole thing kind of rating the uniforms, rating the hats as they've come out. So they've grown on me, definitely.
On the city, there's multiple City Connects.
Yes. Well, for each team, kind of comparing each team and seeing.
Is there a good one? Exactly. Exactly. So you don't like them?
No.
You're like,
everybody's opinion is different.
You tolerate a couple of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that. It says Motor City on the front, although it makes it look like it's a NASCAR uniform. Yeah, to me, the hat's the most important thing if the hat's not recognizable. And yet I can deal with, why can I deal with the football alternative, like helmets, like that Ravens one, whatever it was called. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's very important stuff. Going to get very worked up. Probably not. We're going to talk to Matt Neverett in about 15 minutes. Matt is in Tacoma with the Aviators. He's the voice of the Aviators, voice of Rebels football, and also one of the folks who has logged some time at South Point Studios. Alex White's in here with us. All right, so I'm going to put you on the griddle here because we have lots of perspectives on this show. Kelly Stafford, Matt Stafford's better half? We're talking about money with the quarterbacks. Matt Stafford's trying to renegotiate his deal this year because he gets $31 million. Probably deserves more. Now, is that because he wants it or because she wants it?
I would assume him because he's seen these other young guys getting paid. And he is a very good quarterback, top five.
When he's healthy, he's awesome. He was great last year. I want to play a piece of audio here. Kelly Stafford, wife of Matt Stafford, Rams quarterback, on a podcast. It might be her own podcast. I don't know. One of the reactions was from Sean Merriman. He said, "I'm sick for him, man. What the hell?" Listen to Kelly Stafford, who decides to tell, I guess, the story of her courting by Matt Stafford in college. And I want to find out from you and others listening if this is okay.
Long story short, it wasn't that cute of a relationship at first. I hated him. I loved him. I dated the backup to piss him off, which worked.
Oh, yes. He was like, that'll do it.
He was the bad boy, too. Like, Matthew's so sweet and southern gentleman and all that stuff. And the backup was the complete opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, and it upset him.
She went on and on. I didn't see the part about her giving out, like, bedroom tales on the backup. That would be crushing. No one should be doing that. She's a very controversial figure. You remember back when the lockdown was happening and all of us were kind of trapped in our houses, depending on what sort of house, domicile, apartment you live in. She had complained that it felt like she was in prison. And then people showed her house, and it was like this 12,000-square-foot palace. It's in Michigan, so I get that part. I'll admit I'm not objective on this at all. On her. So it's hard for me to judge. Is telling a story about dating the backup quarterback and that he was a bad boy, is it okay?
No, I don't like it. There's Why? Some things that you should not share. You're not the host of Call Me Daddy or some of these podcasts that are trying to
Wait, what podcast is that?
That are trying to get clicks.
What's Call Me Daddy?
It started with Barstool.
Okay.
I can't remember her last name. It's Alex something.
Yeah.
But it's very controversial and just kind of telling girls' side of views and to get clicks, and that's fine.
That was the other thing. That's the immediate thing I went to. I'm like, you know what? Guys do talk too much. So, like, we can't complain. The problem is this is someone very much in the public eye.
Yes.
We'll have to continue on this. I will get back to it in the grab bag. Because I don't want to sound like a sexist or someone who believes there should be one-way rules about full disclosure. Maybe Kelly Stafford just has the right approach.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Fly ball, right field, hit deep, debut, gone! Teo, a hero! The Dodgers lead!
A three-run home run, Teoscar Hernandez, and the Dodgers have come all the way back to take the lead! Oh my goodness!
Rolling out here. Cofield and Company. Alex White is in. Dramatic home run after a blown call. Check swing strike. But game goes on. Bad pitch. Hernandez delivers. Dodgers TV combined with Dodgers radio. Matt Neverett is in. Matt, that was a familiar voice on the back end. How would you grade that call by radio voice and often TV voice of the Dodgers, Tim Neverett?
Not a bad call by the old man. You can tell the emotion was raw. He loves being back in Denver. My dad does. We spent some time there for about 6-7 years, so I know he loves being back there. And yeah, just a heck of a game, heck of a finish. And yeah, I'll give him a heck of a call on that one. That was one of the more dramatic home runs he's gotten a chance to call in his time with the Dodgers. It was the first time, guys, in Major League history that a team had come back in the ninth inning with a grand slam and a three-run home run in the same inning.
That's so crazy. But that's been the story with the Rockies. If something can go wrong, it does go wrong, and their bullpen stinks. They can't find a reliable closer. They're not in a position to win a lot of games, so when they blow a big lead like that, it's absolutely debilitating. So, first of all, we always like to talk about our travel, and I have not been to the Seattle area, maybe ever. I haven't been to Tacoma, so I don't know what the food is like up there. Have you been able to go out and experiment a little bit? Anything you've seen that's cool?
Yeah, this is my first trip up here as well, up here with the Aviators on the road, taking on Tacoma for the week. Yeah, a lot of good seafood, as you would expect. Got a chance today to go to a local eatery near the hotel. I was walking around yesterday by the water out here for a couple of hours, actually. I got a sandwich at a deli or something, but definitely wanted to see some of the local fare and got some seafood today. And, really, really good. I got some cod. So they know there's seafood up here, so I'll take it as fresh as anybody.
I seriously was going to make this the awkward cheese sports radio transition. Like, Alex, you like cod? I don't know why I was, but I still did it. I was hoping Alex would jump in like, oh, I love that. So anyway, I'm sorry. I'm glad you gave the cod a pop. Game tonight in Tacoma. Aviators off, a couple of losses. On the Tacoma side, if we were looking for prospects, do they have a top-notch prospect hitting or pitching?
Jonathan Clase, leadoff hitter, center fielder, probably one of the fastest players in minor league baseball. He is the fastest player in the Mariners organization, top to bottom. He comes in as the number 10 prospect out of 30 right now for the M's, and he's already been up and down with the big club a couple different times this year. He's really exciting. He's got a little bit of pop as well with 6 home runs and just under 50 games with the Rainiers. And, yeah, when he takes off for second, even third base, he's still third earlier in the week, it is really something to behold. So that's the name to keep an eye out for. As far as the position players, and with the way that the Mariners' rotation is at the major league level right now, they've got some really top-notch starters kind of stuck down here in Tacoma, about a half an hour away from T-Mobile Field. Emerson Hancock, the name that I'm thinking about. He started 2 nights ago, left with a lower back injury after 4 scoreless innings, but he is, like I said, just stuck down here because the Mariners have the best 5-man rotation in Major League Baseball.
Matt, we know that the home road splits have not been great for the Aviators. What do they have to do to turn it around and win a few of these road games?
Well, the Aviators won on Tuesday 8-4. They allowed four runs in the third and then scored eight unanswered to come back and win. And since then, they've scored just a combined three runs, really struggling to put any kind of consistent offense together. They faced off, like I said, against some pretty good starting pitching, and they will tonight with former Cy Young winner Dallas Keuchel going on the hill for the Rainiers. But it's just about base runners, guys. They have had a struggle to extend innings. Really, about four or five batters an inning is a long inning by this week's standards. So just finding ways to continue to add on. You want to throw up a crooked number every now and then, and for Las Vegas, they really haven't been able to do that since Tuesday.
Matt Neverton on Cofield and Company. All right, I think we kind of called this a few weeks ago. I don't know if we exactly said it, but I'm going to say we said it. We were expressing some excitement for Tyler Soderstrom going up to the A's, and you know, we mentioned the fact that you know it's pretty rare to have two good hitting catchers. Eventually, one of those guys, and maybe both, will settle somewhere else. But you know, Soderstrom went up, and he's been really flashing some good power last 10 games.
Yeah, and he's a left-handed bat, which will buy him some extra time. People forget, too, the kid's only 22 years old. I mean, I was still in college at that age, and Soderstrom mashing in Major League Baseball. Really, they have three power-hitting catchers, if you include Kyle McCann, who made some headlines yesterday or 2 days ago, for getting tossed and throwing up some rock star hand signals and knuckle-touching fans heading out of the Coliseum. They've got a really good three-man rotation between McCann, Soderstrom, and Shea Langeliers, who's been doing more DHing recently because he's got a bum knee. But for Soderstrom, they're just finding ways to get into the lineup that really, really has helped him. He's only played in 34 games this year in Major League Baseball, so as a young guy, still coming up and really still defining who he is as a player at the Major League level, it just comes down to reps. And I think for Soderstrom, he's going to get as many reps as he needs, and he's going to get as long a leash as anybody, A, as a power hitter, B, as a left-handed power hitter, and C, as a former first-round pick. Those are really three of the things that will get you a longer leash, so to speak, as far as patience with an organization.
I know we saw Tyler Soderstrom play multiple positions, and I know it's different in the minors, but with AAA, he did play infield as well. What do you think about that with the A's in the big? Since, like you said, I mean, they do have three really good catchers.
Yeah, and McCann can play some first base as well. It's just a matter of finding a way to spread out the at-bats, as we've seen. Soderstrom does play some first base and does play it pretty well. He's not an above-average defender at both catcher or first base, but with that bat, he'll find his way into the lineup. And that's a position that is really, really short. There's a dearth of first baseman around Major League Baseball. It is a pretty thin position top to bottom, thinking from like a fantasy perspective or just overall numbers. So if you've got a guy that you can plug in at first who's not a net negative defensively and adds power from the left side, every team would be happy to have that, especially when you're trying to find ways to get a couple of different catchers into some at-bats.
Matt, the Aviators are back in town, and you'll be back in town this coming week, and a lot of good promotions once again. Talk especially about the weekend because, what, jersey giveaway, cap giveaway?
Yeah, if you like free stuff, this is the upcoming homestand for you. Sacramento comes to town, Giants AAA affiliate. They are going to finish in the second place in the first half. This week also marks the beginning of the second half of the PCL schedule. Sugarland won the first half. They'll get a chance to host a three-game PCL championship series at the end of September, but Sacramento was right behind them, so it's a quality opponent. Jersey giveaway on Friday, blue jersey with the orange and yellow sleeves presented by Red Rock Hotel, and then the yellow cap giveaway presented by our friends at Pro Roofing Systems. Should be good. Again, if you like free stuff, this is the one for you. As always, Tuesday, Reyes de Plata. Wednesday, Bark on the Berm. Thursday, $2 beers. And then Sunday night, guys, might be my favorite night of the year. It's the first Sunday night game. That'll be a 6:05 first pitch. I personally am not a fan of the day games. I just don't like waking up early. So this will be a nice treat to be able to sleep in a little bit on Sunday this upcoming week.
And then, of course, we do go into a short three-game series, and we'll have fireworks tonight, both the second and the third. But, Matt, I know you're busy and you're calling games. I just want to get your thoughts here. We have the NLCS rematch with the Diamondbacks and the Phillies. Now, in Game 1, Jordan Montgomery gets the start. They're up 4-0. What do you think is going to play out in this three-game series?
Well, I think we're going to see the inverse of what we saw play out last year in the playoffs. The Phillies, a team to be reckoned with, top record in the National League right now, whereas the Diamondbacks coming into today, a game under 500. So I think that we are seeing more of a true reflection of who these two teams are this year as compared to where they were last year. Diamondbacks, a team of destiny. One of my favorite jokes I like to say about a team that I think is bad that makes it further than I think. Team of destiny last year. They got the second least amount of wins of any team in the wild card to make it to a World Series. So I don't want to call it a fluke, but the Diamondbacks were riding a lot of momentum last year, and now we're seeing the Phillies really start to flex their muscle. I'll be super interested, guys, to see if Philly makes any moves at the deadline, because right now they're pretty solid, both in their lineup and in the rotation. The bullpen's been okay. I think if they make a major move, it's going to be to improve that bullpen.
Schofield coming in on Friday. Matt Nevert's on the road. Aviators in Tacoma. I got to get a UNLV question in here before we let you go. That's coming up in about 3 minutes. But let's talk a little Dodgers Angels and, you know, what's happening here with the Dodgers at nearly the halfway pole. Their record's awesome. Their pitching is very much a mash unit. If you look at their depth chart, I mean, it's like of their 10 potential starters, like 6-7 are down. Some are down for the season. Great. Some are dinged up. And I just saw what Landon Knack is back up to pitch for him. Good news, though, Kershaw, and we'll see about his durability. He just started a rehab assignment, probably has to go a couple more rehabs, and then he could be back. It's pretty crazy what they've put together here. And that said, they've done a lot of it because the lineup has been great, and Ohtani has been unbelievable as a hitter.
Yeah, go figure. You cut his workload in half, and he produces just about where he's been his entire career. He is just a freak of nature, as we all know. The one thing, too, that I saw is that they're doing a bobblehead night with him and his dog, Decoy, later in the year. They better start putting some security measures in place now. That's going to be a riot to try to get that thing. But this Dodgers team in general, plagued by the injury bug as much as anybody in the show. I mean, especially when it comes to the pitching, Bueller and Yamamoto onto the injured list. But the Dodgers are in a unique position, and it's a favorable one for them, where they have the highest odds right now by Fangraphs to win that division of any team to win their division, like 98%, something like that. So the playoffs are an inevitability for the Dodgers. So with that in mind, they can really not only make moves at the deadline, but make moves as far as injuries to really try to time it up to where everybody is not only back healthy, but peaking heading into the end of September. So once they start to get some of these starters back, they've got some really tough decision to make. You got Gavin Stone, you got Mack, as you had mentioned. They're going to have some guys that really would be on a playoff rotation for some other teams. But when it comes down to it, and you've got Glasnow, you've got Kershaw, you've got Bueller, you've got Yamamoto as far as guys that could start in the playoffs, you really only need 3 to 4 starters nowadays in Major League Baseball with the off days and the scheduling around the playoffs. So they're going to have some tough decisions to make. That's a good problem to be in, though. It's a good situation to find yourself in when you've got too many good arms. It's a matter of if they're all going to be healthy and peaking, like I said, at the right time going into the playoffs.
Matt, we got about a minute left. Mount West Conference Football Media Days are coming up in, July 12th and 13th, I think it is. And you were a voter a year ago. You got mocked, chided, really almost excommunicated from the media because you picked UNLV in the media poll to win the Mountain West Conference. I don't know if legally you're allowed to reveal your vote, but you did put in your standings for this year in the Mountain West, right?
I did, yeah. And I'll go out and say it. I did not pick UNLV first again. You know, I got extraordinarily, I don't want to say lucky, but I was rewarded for my faith last year. I think they're going to be really, really good, but you got to keep in mind that the rest of the conference, especially through the portal and through a lot of NIL dealings, has improved top to bottom. And I think Boise State has a legitimate opportunity to make the college football playoff with the way that it's set up this year for the first year in the new format. I got Boise State first. I think Fresno State second with some of the continuity that they have, including Keenan quarterback. I've got UNLV at number 3. So I've got them in the top 3 this year, not necessarily rocking the boat like I did last year.
Yeah, I saw a Fresno fan Twitter account with Fresno at 10-2 and UNLV going 5-7. Could happen. You never know. Yes, UNLV fans got a little irked at that. Enjoy the rest of the trip. We'll see you here next week, and we appreciate you coming on today, Matt.
Thank you, guys. Always happy to help.
There he is, Matt Nevert, voice of the Aviators, voice of the UNLV Rebels football team. Alex White continues with us into the next hour. We're hanging out here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar at Treasure Island. And, yes, Ohtani not pitching, even more dangerous. 318, 21 homers, 63 ribs, an OPS over 1,000. Oh, and just throw in the possibility of him stealing 25 or 30. He's kind of good. And that's a Dodger team that is 47-30 with a dinged up pitching staff. Pretty crazy.